Frescor Praça.
That's our intro. Hello there, and welcome to Paisco Praça Movie Cock Talk. This is the show where Jody and I do one of our favorite things in the world, and that is to talk about movies.
A lot.
A lot of talk about movies. Yeah, this show
K
is
at K.
K at K. This show is not like our usual show. We decide on a topic. It can be anything from like a...
We might want you to decide on a topic as well, if you're lucky.
It can be a discussion on movie tropes. It can be a discussion on a certain director. It can be a discussion on whatever we want. But this week, we have chosen something that Jody was actually not keen on.
I had anxiety.
I don't know why, though.
Because I've never done this before. But...
Okay.
Continue with your intro.
Yeah. So, I mean, I was excited about this because I am a fan of this franchise. Kind of ironically, but also not. So, we decided to discuss the entire Faga.
The Faga.
Faga.
Motherfucker.
As Jody put it, it is the Fast and Furious saga.
The entire thing.
The entire thing. The entire family. The entire
Salute
fucking
familia.
Salute me for me.
That's probably because they drink Corona and COVID. That's why it's beating your head.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, man. Fun fact. Okay, I'm somehow going to hit you with a fun fact.
Go for it.
Do you know Corona paid nothing?
Really?
They paid absolutely nothing.
For all that product placement.
For all the product placement. The director of the first film, sorry, the screenwriter of the first film, he had obviously done some research and met with some races and some of them preferred Corona. So he thought he would just write it in there. Tom prefers Corona. And that is something that they kept throughout the franchise.
That's invaluable research, that is.
I don't fuck around when it comes to research, Jody.
No, I'm talking about the screenwriter.
You probably just
spoke to two people.
He spoke to two people. He's like, what kind of beer do you like? I don't know, Corona, man. And he's like,
second
rock
one.
Solid. That's it. This is the foundation that I'm going to build my franchise on. Look, like, we could talk about this for quite some time. I mean, I have so many notes.
It's eight films,
It's
guys.
Eight films, yeah.
It's eight films.
We decided to exclude Hobbs and Shaw.
Yeah.
Just because we wanted to stick to the main family and not the distant cousins.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those ones that only come for funerals and weddings. And then they take barakat home and they don't bring anything. You know,
or those ones that your mother introduces you to.
Yeah.
Like, you're already like fucking 30 years old. Yeah. And she's like, this is Carl. And like, cool, hi Carl. And it's like, this is your cousin. And it's like the first time you ever seen
this. They just expect sparks.
Yeah. Oh, I hated it, my bro.
I say we get into it right now.
Movie Cat Talk.
The Fast and the Furious, okay? This came out in 2001.
Yes.
53% on Rotten Tomatoes. I think that's accurate.
I think it's accurate.
This was directed by Rob Cohen, and he's the man that launched the ship, man.
Yeah. Also, he's known for like quite a few action films. Not many memorable ones, to be honest. He did Stealth, and
I hated Stealth. Yeah.
But it's, you get his vibe when you think of like Stealth and Fast and the Furious.
Yeah.
There's a whole bunch of other randoms in there as well.
Yeah, you get kind of his vibe, and his vibe is corny. No.
Corny AF.
No, so the idea for Fast and Furious was actually after the director, Rob Cohen, he read an article called Racer X in Vibe magazine by Ken Lee, and that was in 1998. So the article, I fucking hate kale. The article.
That's
focused,
a super food.
I don't care. I'd rather die.
Oh, than eat kale. Oh, kale chips.
The article focused on street racing in New York. So he was like, I can make a movie about this.
I can.
Yeah, which he did.
He went ahead.
And this movie, it is astonishing to me, the impact that it had.
Yeah.
Like the first one.
Yes. It's also astonishing to me how much of the story it stole from.
No, it's Point Break.
From Point Break.
It's Point Break with cars.
Right down to the blonde blue eyes. of Paul Walker. But yeah, it's literally just
Point Break. Suggest you watch Point Break if you haven't seen it. Yeah. And then you can check the similarities for yourself.
The original. Please don't watch the remake
shit,
of Point
I even
Break.
Forgot they had a remake.
Don't watch the remake.
No, watch the original.
Keanu and
R.I.P. Patrick Swayze.
Yeah.
So, like we said, the story is kind of like Point Break. So you have Brian, who is the undercover cop. Mm. He's getting into the street racing scene, and he's after these bunch of criminals who are stealing DVD players.
Yes, from trucks.
Is the street value of a DVD player?
At that time, they were a lot, though. I remember DVD players that time was like, yo, you could either watch on your PS1 or you had a DVD player.
Yeah.
And I remember the video stores. In the beginning, they phased in DVDs really slowly because they were like, we've got cassettes.
Yeah.
Not doing that.
And then you'll get only four movies that are DVDs. Yeah. I remember that. And people were like, whoa, I wish I had something to play this on.
Mm-hmm. I need a DVD player. You see?
I see. So, yeah, Brian infiltrates the street racing scene. He becomes friends with Tom Toretto because he's trying to chase his sister. Mm-hmm. You find out that they get quite close.
Yeah.
Dom thinks of him as a friend, but then he figures out that Dom and his team are the ones that are robbing the trucks.
Yeah.
And he has to expose himself as a cop and then kind of stop Dom, but he ends up letting Dom go in the end. I'm not going to go through the entire story.
Yeah. Also, guys, there's going to be a shitload of spoilers. We're not going to spoil alert or anything because we're talking about the movies. These are all old films. So
this is 2001.
Exactly. Spoiler alert.
blanket. It is so of its time, man.
It really is.
Early 2000s.
It really is. And the music, the...
The fashion.
Everything.
The colors.
Yeah.
It's like really the start of the bling era.
Yeah. It just transports you all the way back.
It's so cringy to look back on. Yeah. Bootleg jeans.
Mm.
Okay, I want to talk about Vince. Vince is the one friend. I call him Angry Man.
Yes.
That's all I...
He speaks in...
Yeah. Angry Man fights Brian for no reason.
He really does.
The beef starts...
No, man. Vince smacks Mia.
Yeah, but come on. You don't just start to move... How has he not gone to see a professional? Yeah.
In Vince's defense, Brian is freak irritating in that first movie.
No, he's freak irritating. R.I.P. Paul Walker.
No, man. Come on.
R.I.P. Spoiler alert. Paul Walker passed away.
He passed away.
Vin Diesel. Mm-hmm. VD for short.
Okay, venereal.
Vin Diesel is not bad in this film.
He's not bad, but he's also very different. So what we'll see in this first one is that the characterizations weren't figured out at all.
No.
So
this was it was almost cringy, man. They didn't need to have super fleshed out characters.
Yeah.
Because the focus was on the culture and
Yes. Overtly so. But there's one moment that really typifies for me how different Vin Diesel is, and that's in they have their first race. And everyone's pitching up, and then Vin Diesel gets there and everyone's excited, and then he's like, Hector, you're gonna blah blah blah. But it's not like Vin Diesel in the later films where he's just bromming in the background, we're gonna need two missiles and a jet.
I actually started in my notes, I actually listed when he started bromming.
Is it?
Yeah. But I didn't mind. This is in my opinion, this is peak Diesel sexiness.
Oh yeah,
because he's a little bit he's a little bit more svelte. He articulates himself well.
He really does,
and he's got that vibe. He plays nice between that angry shouting. He's very good at stopping fights.
Yes, just by being
alpha male.
Yeah,
what we call it, big dick energy.
Yeah,
he's got big BDE. Dick energy. He's got that BDE going. Mm. Coming out the wazoo, as you would
say. Yeah, you don't want the BDE coming out the wazoo.
You need to keep that BDE inside the wazoo. The soundtrack is horrible.
The music for the first few films for me was quite rough. But for this one, they seem to emphasize almost Paul Walker's character. So they were we really want late 90s, early 2000s pop rock or rock. It just it really doesn't fit with the vibe, man. And
no, there's three genres that they play with in the beginning. Mm. It's rock. So rock would cover metal and pop rock, and then hip hop, and then dance music.
Yes.
So those are the three that always rotate.
Quite intense
in the beginning of the series. Yeah. Mm. The race. It's a quarter mile.
Yeah.
They did the maths and that's actually 3 kilometers.
Which is not a quarter mile.
That is not a quarter
mile. So just so you know, 1 mile is about 1.6 kilometers.
Yes.
So a quarter mile is a quarter of 1.6.
So the distance that they travel and the time that they ride and the speed that the speeds that they reach.
Yeah.
It's about 3 kilometers that they're riding. Craig Lieberman, he was a technical advisor on the movie. Mm. And he had a few things that he wanted to clear up. I'm just going to run through them. In the heist scene, a Honda Civic cannot fit under a semi-trailer.
Jenna, we've been driving past trucks. Every time we drive past the truck, it's
impossible.
Like,
impossible.
A car can't fit lengthwise, nor can it fit likewise.
So they had to raise it by 18 inches in order to get that car through. Brian's test run with the Eclipse, when he gets his new car and then he drives outside the stadium, there was no way he could reach 140 miles per hour. Because the parking lot is way too short.
Yes.
This is nitpicking, but this is from the actual guy.
Yeah.
This is quite interesting. NOS was not called NOS before this film. NOS is a brand of nitrous oxide.
Yes, that's right.
So when Brian comes in, he's like, I need NOS.
Yeah.
He's talking about a brand. Yes. And people in the street racing community had never referred to it as NOS. They always referred to it as nitrous or nitrous oxide.
Yeah.
And after this film,
everyone calls it NOS.
That changed. Yeah. The entire world just started calling
it NOS.
That's
insane. Though.
That's nuts, right? Four-way race. Mm. Too many gear shifts. Mm. Like I said.
Why do you need four, though?
That is another dangerous thing. A street race would never happen with four people.
It always happens between two.
It's too dangerous.
Yeah. It's just two cars normally that race.
And also from this guy, no one spray paints a line and no one races four people in a row.
Yeah.
It's
how many times you spray by the light?
The danger to the manifold warning when Brian, that's bullshit.
Yeah.
The floor pan inexplicably falls out.
Yeah, because the manifold's about to blow up and then that falls out of the car, right?
Yes.
Those screws all start
falls
popping.
Out of the car, but this guy, Craig Lieberman, he wanted the nitrous to sort of go in the red zone so that Brian could still drive the car afterwards.
Yeah.
Because he saves Dom after the race, right?
Yeah. After he apparently fucks his car and then he goes and saves
Dom. But they
Dom
were like, nah, we have to fuck his car. We have to fry his car. And then he's like, okay, fine. And when Dom is in the car, you don't see that the manifold is missing.
Yeah.
So he should actually be
Flintstoning
it underneath the car because there's a fucking hole there.
Exactly.
That's cack funny. Nitrous is not explosive. Mm. So when Tran shoots the car.
And then Dom shouts, NOS!
Yeah. It shouldn't have blown up that way. In the scene where they're building his Supra, they sort of pan over all these parts. Mm. None of those parts are for the Supra.
That's the type of attention to detail we love.
Oh, man.
You know?
Listen, they just got like random parts from the bolts and stuff. The car prayer, when the family are sitting at the and they ask that guy to
Jesse.
Pray, that's actually legit. The stuff that he prays for is legit.
Yeah, but it's the... Can I just say on the dialogue for this movie?
Oh, no. Wait, I mean, do you want to talk about this movie or do you want to talk about the whole
thing? This one
series?
Is particularly bad, though, in terms of... It's about cars. So everything in this thing is about cars.
Yeah.
Like any reference that they make is like taken back to cars for some reason.
Yeah, they have to.
It's
because
like, guys,
it's like...
I understand it's about cars. Mm. But then Jesse starts praying about like the delivery of parts that they're going to get and that the parts are good and all that shit. We're like, we know.
Yeah, you cars.
You guys like cars.
Do you have any other hobbies? Like, do they read?
Do. No. Well, Dom is the shop with Mia.
You talk about everything being about cars, no? There's that scene where they catch Brian snooping around, right? And they ask him what he was doing.
Yeah.
And he tells him.
And he has the worst explanation.
Tran has this in his car and this. And he refers to a Motec system exhaust. Mm. That doesn't exist. Apparently, he went off script.
But he was so convincing.
He was so convincing. They kept it in.
They're like, we've put all that other stuff in. We can't be technical now.
Yeah, but I love this type of shit, to be honest.
Race Wars. That's one of my biggest letdowns, though. While we're on the negative shit. I don't understand
it
why
was
that.
I thought it would build up to be like, not the climax of the movie, but a major high point. Because if you think of it, like, you and I both know people who are into cars, yeah, right? They go to Killarney for a whole fucking day, bro. Yeah. And they watch races.
They go to get in, and they go watch all day. And that's essentially what the race was.
Yeah, so I thought they were going to be like, the races were going to be better than the night race.
And they also have, like, Johnny Tran specifically telling Dom, I've got something for you at Race Wars.
Yeah.
And then they never
race. They never race because he takes on a fucking Jetta that can never beat him anyway.
Sorry. Oh, and we're like, but now, why on earth would you hype up that race and then just not have it?
I feel like they made a lot of decisions. It just feels like they made decisions randomly on the fly.
Like they were in that setting, in the Race Wars setting. Like, oh, we can set up Jesse dying. But we're not going to have any other races.
Yeah, thinking about it.
Because who races there? Jesse and Letty.
Jesse and Letty.
That's it.
Yeah. And then Dom fights and says, I didn't knock on nobody.
Yeah.
So fucking weird, man.
And then Johnny Tran's speech is so like, they arrest me in front of my family.
Also, quick question about Johnny Tran. Mm.
Is he related to DK? Of course he is.
That is racist.
Everything's connected in the series.
Check it out. He's like a straight up murderer, criminal person.
Yeah.
But his family's rich. Mm. So why is he doing that?
For the love of the game.
For the love of the murder.
Yeah. Some people like murderizing.
I don't understand it. He's like this junior triad who like shoots people. Yeah. But his family's like already wealthy why?
Maybe they're wealthy because he's doing all of that.
No, they're not involved. His father was like, when he got arrested, his father was disgusted and gave him a backhand and shit. Oh.
Added in there with our...
What I enjoyed about this movie was kind of the nostalgia of it. Mm. I remember when it came out and I wasn't heavy into cars.
Yeah.
But I could see how that could sweep you up in it, for sure.
It really can. I mean, I remember watching this at the movies and me and my cousin went. And that opening scene with him like hijacking that truck
was
pretty awesome.
Yeah, it was the first dice for me.
Well, the first dice as well, yes. Yeah. That also is pretty iconic.
And then in the final dice, when his car lifts up and people were like, yeah,
pop a wheelie.
That blew everyone's mind when it can't do that though.
It can.
No,
it did.
It didn't though. They used what you would call wheelie bars. Yeah. They used wheelie bars and it's impossible for the tires to spin and the front to lift.
No, that's just impossible's nothing.
Look, impossible is nothing when you have Dom Toretto behind the wheel. Because what does he say? It doesn't matter what's in the fucking car.
It's who's behind the wheel.
Yeah.
Don't skip ahead to part 8.
Sorry. But it 100% matters who's behind. I mean, what's under the hood.
Yeah,
the car.
That helps. It really does.
So overall, I did enjoy this film.
I did as well. And
I didn't think I would.
We're talking about good stuff now.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
I really think that this one convincingly laid the groundwork for Brian and Dom as friends. I quite like their quieter moments with each other. I felt
even though it came at a weird point,
and Dom, he's like, accepting him so quickly didn't really make sense to me.
But they only had so much time.
Exactly. And when they did have their quieter moments and their conversations and things, you can see how that would lay the groundwork with them becoming friends.
Yeah, I must say.
Establishing the relationship. So I like that. And like you said, the nostalgia value of seeing the races. And also, we shouldn't think of it like now.
Yeah.
How things
are
developed.
That's what I tried to do. You know what I mean? I watch it now and I think like, I think this is stupid. And then I try to go back. Time travel inside my head and be like, what did I think of this when I was actually fucking a teenager? I just want to say Vin Diesel's real name is Mark Sinclair.
Of course it is. Is Vin short for Vincent?
No, it's short for vehicle identification number.
Oh my word.
That's the only reason this movie works.
And then it's fuel type. Yeah, of course. If you think about it, do you realize Brian is the bad guy in this first movie? Like, fuck, man. I just realized that.
Yes.
He's the actual villain.
Yeah, he's a villain. Not only because, like, he's trying to break up the family, but also because he's a bad policeman.
Mm. He's bad at everything he does in this movie.
Okay, one last. I do have more facts, but one last thing. Vin Diesel's character is supposed to be 24 in this film.
No. Just no.
He's more like 34.
I don't at any point like accept anyone's ages anymore.
No, no, you can't. Yeah, no. It's nuts.
Sure, if you say 24, we go with that.
Yeah. So we're going to move on.
Let's move on.
To Fast to Furious.
Because we will give like our overall favorites also. Will. So we just want to go movie by movie.
Too Fast to Furious.
Yeah.
2003.
That number game, yo. Too Fast to Furious.
Too Furious.
Yo.
I do love that. Yo. I do love that. 36% on Rotten Tomatoes. Yeah,
can see why.
Yeah, yeah. This was directed by John Singleton.
Surprisingly.
Surprisingly. John Singleton gave us some of the best black films of all
Boys
time.
In the Hood.
Boys in the Hood, which is one of my favorites. Mm. Hood movies. But not only Hood movies. John Singleton is a very good director. I just think that he didn't fully understand this.
I don't think,
world.
In his defense, I don't think anyone understood what they wanted to do at this point. Vehicle identification number didn't come back.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm outie.
Yeah, yeah. So they offered him $25 million for this.
Shit.
To come back.
Wow.
He turned it down because he was unhappy with the scripts.
Mm.
So Universal had two scripts. They have one that included Diesel and then the other one that included petrol.
Mm. And later
no, it excluded Diesel.
You're just cracking yourself up.
Yeah, I love it. Like, fucking shit, bro. This is one of my favorites. He's quoted as saying, Universal Studios didn't take a Francis Ford Coppola approach to it. They approached it like they did sequels in 80s and 90s when they would drum up a new story.
He's not
unrelated
wrong.
For the most part.
He's
and
not
slap
wrong.
The name on it.
He's not
so
wrong.
I think it was a good thing for him to turn.
That's exactly what they did also in his defense.
Although it might have changed if he had been involved.
Maybe.
Because, you know, he's quite vocal about shit. I mean, he has more power now.
Yeah, but I don't think he necessarily had it back then.
Yeah, yeah.
He was obviously a big draw in terms of his character.
But yeah.
I think he's not wrong about any of those choices that they made.
No.
Story-wise.
So this is the one where Dom isn't in it.
Mm-hmm.
And this focuses on a terrible policeman, Brian.
Yes.
And he's not a policeman anymore because he let Dom go in the previous film. And they're like, you're fired. Not even jail time.
Yeah.
But there is a short film.
Mm.
It's called The Prelude to Too Fast, Too Furious.
Mm.
I say it's a short film. It's actually terrible. But it's like 6 minutes. And they show Brian sort of making his way through this America on the run and like entering street races and shit.
Of course.
And then he reaches Miami and he like makes a name for himself in Miami.
Is that where they start calling him Bullet?
Do they call him Bullet?
Yeah. They call him Bullet.
Who the fuck calls
him
Bullet?
The girl in the pink car.
What's her name? Suki.
Suki.
Yeah. That is Steve Aoki's sister.
Really?
Yeah.
I know her name's Aoki. Yeah. Yes.
Crazy.
Crazy.
I didn't know they call him Bullet. I didn't even catch
I know.
That.
It does.
It happens so fast.
It doesn't happen anywhere else. It happens so fast.
Oh, my word. So when we enter this farm, he is on the run.
Yes.
And then the FBI catch him and they tell him, listen, we need you to infiltrate this shit now because of some reason.
Yeah, we'll wipe your record and.
Yeah, yeah, and it's always the deal.
Yeah.
And he's like, I can't use this, bro, because he doesn't know some fucking bullshit. And he goes to find Tyrese, who is a childhood friend of his, Roman Reigns.
Roman Pierce.
Pierce, that's the one. Yeah. Roman Reigns is a wrestler, I think.
He is a wrestler.
They enlist the help of Roman. They will also clear his record or shorten his parole or something.
Yeah, because at that point, he's out on parole. He's got the ankle bracelet on.
Yeah. So the two of them have to now ride for this drug dealer whose name is?
This guy's name is Verone.
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 Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Yes.
Cole Hauser.
Cole Hauser, who is not Latino.
No.
So this guy is doing brown face.
He's really doing brown face. What's the
curl? Yes, he's doing brown. And they put Auntie Jackie's curl shit on his hair. Yo. And he's like, he's a Latino. We swear. Look at him. And he doesn't speak Spanish.
Varone.
Does he speak Spanish?
No. Not at all.
It's so bad.
Because he's the suave Latino in this one.
So I don't understand why they wouldn't just get a Latino actor.
He worked with John Singleton on one of his previous
films. I don't care.
And John Singleton, because that's also, he did Baby Boy as well. So that's
yeah, that's why Tyrese is in here. Yeah.
So I think he just like brought people that he knew into this film to play these roles.
But then...
And it didn't make any sense.
It didn't make sense. He was not... He was doing brown face for
real. Don't forget, this one also introduced us to Tej.
Yeah, Tej. Ludacris. So Ludacris replaces Ja Rule.
As the rapper of the film.
For real though. Yeah. Ja Rule was supposed to be in this film, but they only offered him 500,000.
Shame.
And then he was like, nah.
I'm hotter than that.
He couldn't also take part because he was organizing Fyre Festival.
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding. Fyre Festival didn't happen for a while. But yeah, Ja Rule turned it down and then they brought in another rapper.
He just makes good choices.
Luda. Yeah, he makes such bad choices. So anyway, Hauser is fucking running shit. He needs his money driven wherever. Mm. You have Eva Mendes, who I forgot was in this one.
Yeah, I felt when I watched this, I thought her role was bigger.
Yeah, I also thought
in my head, I was like, she plays a big role in this film.
To be fair though, they didn't really give women a good shot, the series in the beginning, especially. One thing that is sort of runs throughout are these skinny bum race parties that there's just half naked women
girls
everywhere.
With skirts that actually don't cover their whole.
These things don't exist, I'm sure. Yeah. This is not how it really goes down.
I haven't been to one yet.
I haven't been to one, so that's why
I hold out hope that I'll be invited at some point.
Yeah, but I don't want to go to a party like that. It looks so fucking... Oh, my God.
Because then I feel pressured to pull my pants down as well. Like, how much ass do I have to show?
You must show at least 80%.
Yeah. And it's harder because I'm pulling from the top. Like, away from the bottom.
Just keep the hole closed. You don't show your balloon knot.
I didn't know that's what it's called.
Yeah, that's what it's called. If you look at it. Look at it next time.
I can picture it.
Looks like a balloon. So they now, they have to try for this guy. They beat these other guys in this race. And then they have to transport his money. But he changes the plan. And then they end up taking him down.
The plot's not really that important.
No, that's why I'm running through it like super quick. Just so that we can start talking about the film.
Yeah.
Because I have some things.
Yeah, please share.
No one wears seatbelts.
No.
Did you notice that?
Yeah, but there's no time. You know, with Brian like doing his eye contact driving thing with Eva Mendes, why would I not want the seatbelt?
That is so scary to me that no one wears seatbelts. The dialogue is especially bad in this film.
Yeah, it's horrible. I mean, the story is terrible.
Do you know why, though?
Because they didn't make any effort?
No, John Singleton allowed them to ad lib.
Of course.
But they're not good at it.
No. Well, Tyrese is pretty...
No, you can fuck off.
Not in this movie. I'm saying generally. He's a funny person. So I guess the thinking was... just
he's going to be funny. But be he's funny. Not. And we'll talk about Roman. We'll talk about Roman. Paul Walker is so white.
Yeah.
It is highlighted in this film how white he is and how he does not...
Tan.
Foot. No, he doesn't fit with all these cool people with these urban backgrounds. Yeah. And he's like, yo, what's up? Hello, fellow children.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't fit. He comes from the suburbs and you can tell.
Mm. It's so hard think that Brian, the one from 1 and 2, becomes the one who we actually do enjoy following in later films.
Yeah. But it's
because he's so hard to like in these first few.
He's so hard to like. I really don't like I made another note here. The way they talk to and portray women is problematic.
It really is.
I was like, geez, this is, it's so gross and creepy.
Yeah. It's like, you have a woman doing that?
Yeah.
And everyone is just kind of fine with
it. And
Tyrese
is such a fucking horn dog. It's the worst.
In any situation.
Gun
to the head, a rat just ate through a guy's tummy.
Yeah.
You'll find a way.
You'll be like, yo, look at that ass though.
That rat scene. Yeah. Well, you know where Varon is proving.
So he puts a rat on his stomach, puts a bucket over the rat.
And then heats the bucket
and then
up.
Heats the bucket up so the rat will start eating into the guy's stomach.
That's legit one of the scariest things that the villain does. Through the fog.
Yeah, and there's no blood or there's no gore.
No, they don't show
but
us.
But like,
real
just
detail.
The idea of it.
The idea
is
of
like,
it is
shit.
Like, yo, that is he's a creepy ass guy.
Yeah, that was cool.
And that's it.
Yeah.
And then I Then I'm not scared anymore.
No, because then he's not. I mean, that damn. Final outfit that he's wearing also, god damn it. So he's got this black, I think it's a black flowy shirt, like a silk shirt, and these this wide leg flowy pants, and then he's got those racing pumas.
Of the time.
Do you know those pumas?
Yes.
That comes in Ferrari and Porsche. Mm. It's the grossest things on the planet, man. I'm
but
sorry.
You have so much flexibility.
If you own a pair of that, I automatically pity you. But
don't follow the show.
Yeah, no. Follow the show. Just don't. Please don't wear those shoes and then listen to our podcast.
We'll feel it.
And I never thought I'd say this, but I miss Vin Diesel.
Yeah. You do.
Yeah.
Also because no one has any chemistry in this movie. There's no chemistry between anyone. I mean, Roman's supposed to be a childhood friend of Brian's. You don't feel any of that.
Yeah.
They bring back the black detective with the bald head who always plays a black detective, I feel like, in movies.
Okay.
They bring that guy back and there's no chemistry between him and Brian. There's no chemistry between Brian and Eva Mendes.
So we agree this is overall... It's worse than the first one.
It's still, we'll do our.
Yeah, we'll do but
it's
the series is on a decline now.
It's a big step back.
So that final scene, the warehouse scramble, that used 192 cars, other than the hero and the cop cars, right? All those cars were driven by extras.
Jeez.
Street racers from Miami. Yeah.
Nice.
They had like a heavy audition and like 500 cars showed up and they chose
you all in.
Yeah. So then the police cars as well, they were outdated vehicles that it was like kismet. So they went to the police station and they were going to sell, they were going to auction off these cars.
Ah.
And they asked them, how much would you want for each car? And they said $9,000 and they said done.
Of course.
So they bought all the cars and when they were clearing the cars, they found all kinds of shit. Drugs, underwear, and a loaded gun.
Wow. Wow.
I just thought that was quite interesting.
That is. Yo.
Yeah, Too Fast, Too Furious. Not my favorite.
No. Yo. So this one aged badly.
No,
very
it did
badly.
Age badly. But then we move on to Tokyo Drift.
Mm-hmm.
2006.
Mm-hmm.
36% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Mm. I think that's a bit rough in hindsight.
After making my notes, I'm like, okay.
I think it's a bit rough. I can see why. But
yeah.
I think it's a bit rough.
So this one doesn't include anyone from the first couple of movies.
Yeah.
It's Sean. His name is Sean, eh?
Yes. Lucas Black.
Lucas Black, Sean. He gets into cuck in the States and they send him to Tokyo where he's supposed to stay away from cars but somehow finds himself into the...
First night.
Yeah, like first fucking night. First chucks, bruh. This guy looks like he likes to drive cars fast. He gets involved in the street drifting, is what they call it.
He doesn't know.
In the drifting scene, no. Yeah. Gets involved in the drifting scene, gets tangled with this guy, DK. There's triads involved. Mm-hmm. No, that's not triads. It is the Yakuza.
Oh, yes.
In Japan.
Yes.
So it's Yakuza involved, and he's trying to save his honor or life or whatever.
And it introduces us to
Han.
Mm-hmm.
Han.
It's our first look at Han.
So cool, eh?
Mm-hmm.
Don't you love Han?
He's the Brad Pitt of, like, the Asian film things there because he, like, eats in every scene.
I fucking
he's
love
always
Han.
Always nibbling.
It is a... So, I want to hit you with a fact.
Mm.
This was directed by Justin Lin.
Yes.
And prior to this film, he had directed a film called Better Luck Tomorrow.
Yeah, the one about the rich Asian kids.
Who get involved in the...
They need excitement.
Shit, Anyway, Han Lu is in that film.
The same character.
Same character. Yes, so it's a continuation of this guy's story.
Yeah.
And in that film, he used to smoke.
Mm.
Like in almost every scene, he smokes.
Mm.
So the reason he's snacking, and it's mentioned in the series, is because...
By Giselle.
Gal Gadot. That he quit smoking. So that's just like random continuation from a character that was not even in this franchise.
I also love that this is the first time that the holy trinity of the Fast saga. The holy trinity of Justin Lin, Chris Morgan, and Brian Tyler are working together. So that is the director, Justin Lin, the script writer, Chris Morgan, and the music... What you call the music directors?
Music supervisor.
Yeah, music supervisors, Brian Tyler. that they work together, and they will continue right up until 7. And then Justin Lin leaves, and he comes back, obviously, for 9 on.
Yo, spoiler alert.
Sorry.
Yeah, because that, I mean, just thinking of the music, that iconic song, which is not my favorite. Like I said, I only like one song in this entire franchise. But that song, Tang, 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 Tokyo, Tokyo. I love the memes.
Yes.
When they're coming up the elevator. Mm-hmm. If you ever have time, Google those fucking memes.
Yeah.
Tokyo Drift memes. Bow Wow and Sean are coming up the elevator, and he's like, DK. What do you stand for? Donkey Kong? And Bow Wow's like, no, Drift King. And the lift opens, and then there's like a paralyzed guy in a wheelchair just skidding across the floor. I love it so much. It's the best thing ever.
Oh, what?
So in the beginning, when they're racing in high school, right?
Yes.
And he deals with a bully.
Yes.
That girl makes herself a trophy.
That girl is the worst. You talk about problematic characterization of females in these movies. That girl is the absolute pits. She goes from like, oh, you guys will race for me, obviously.
Yeah.
Then she tells her boyfriend when
I thought you loved me.
And then she starts winking at Sean.
What are you doing?
Like, guys, the girls don't do
this
shit.
This is
like those
so
men.
Bad. And the fact that they think that the audience would just like eat the shit up is ridiculous.
Like this is high school girls. I know a girl like that. No, man.
Nah, terrible. Absolutely
that
terrible.
That was just trash, guys.
In Tokyo, there's random MC Hammer posters. Did you notice that?
No, I did not.
Yeah, he's going down the escalator and there's MC Hammer. There's MC Hammer posters on the wall.
It has to be related to DK, man. Maybe it's like there's some type of Hammer time, DK time thing.
Weird high school girl.
You can't touch DK.
Okay, I like how you try to make connections.
It's layered.
Almost like a Fast and Furious scriptwriter.
It's a Fast and Furious Inception.
That high school girl who is clearly not Japanese
and clearly not high school age.
No. My question is this: why couldn't
she Natalie Kelly?
Why couldn't they just use a Japanese girl?
I don't, because then she wouldn't have had the Gaijin connection. Because remember, she's
I get that, but wouldn't it have been like he's a fish out of water and he's the Gaijin, and then like he's really smitten with this
but
chick
also,
in this new land who's possibly Japanese.
And also,
you didn't have to ever be like, I'm Australian. So you got Bow Wow. I fucking hate Bow Wow.
Yeah, no. Is his full name Little?
Yes.
His first name.
His first name is Little, but he dropped the first name because
he
aged out of it. Yeah.
Do you
follow him on like social media? Okay, I don't follow him, but I follow his story. And he keeps getting caught in lies. Like, in terms of him being rich and flexing and shit, he keeps getting caught out. The major one was that he took a picture he posted a picture of a private jet, and he's like, oh, flying to my aunt. And then a person following him on Instagram was on the same flight, and he was flying economy, and he could see Bow Wow literally like few seats ahead.
But
he took a picture of him. Yeah, but he's not making as much money as we think. So I do not like Bow Wow.
No.
But they have to have a black guy.
Of course. Because the white guy and the black guy are always best friends.
Yeah, he's so bad. And then it brings us to the only song that I like in this entire franchise. Mm-hmm. And that is 6 Days by DJ Shadow.
Which one is that?
It's at the starting of the week. It's only Tuesday. That song slaps, bro. I love that beat. Mm-hmm. And that's the only song that I like in this whole franchise.
Nice.
Sorry. Also, what kind of teenagers party like this?
All teenagers.
If
you're in racing, you see, we just need to get invited to one racing party, then we can verify this.
I don't believe this, man.
We just need to get
these
invited
are guys,
to one.
Like, where do they get the money to throw these parties?
I don't know. Their allowances are really dope. Because, I mean, do you see Bow Wow's car? Everyone has
the
got
Hulk
like,
car,
the Hulk first car.
But everyone he sells got, like boofy electronics and shit.
I know, but it's everyone has got money. Because people are buying from him.
Yeah.
The only people he sells to is kids.
Yeah.
And all the kids have cars.
I think they set it in high school, but they didn't write the characters like their high school characters.
No, none of them.
Like their high school kids. Yeah.
Is DK in high school as well?
No, well, DK is just out of high school, but he's dating
and,
a high schooler.
And his best friend is in high school, that weird dude who's like, loves him.
And then he's dating a high schooler still.
Yes, okay. Of course.
So weird.
And Anna's how old at this point?
Her mother was also a prostitute.
I don't.
Yes, because he says they were talking and she was like, it's over. And he's like, yeah, your mother was turning tricks for this and that. You remember?
Yes, I do.
What the fuck, actually? Yeah. There's a lot of prostitution in this film. But yeah, that was one of the problems I had. High schoolers don't party like that. And why is the 17-year-old getting involved in Yakuza stuff? Shit?
Yeah. It's just very weird. How many more bad stuff do you have?
Oh, shit. No.
Because I want to move on to good stuff.
So it's just facts after this. The best thing for me was Han.
Yes. I loved Han. But I will also say that when we started this, in my mind, Tokyo Drift was always been the worst
one.
I've always had it as like, I don't like Tokyo Drift.
Yeah.
It's a shitty story.
I think it's Bow Wow.
Bow Wow is a big reason for this. But also, I think I didn't like the setting.
Yeah.
Rewatching now, I will say that this film has gone up in my estimations quite a bit.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that you, for the very first time, we can feel that they seem to have what becomes the Fast and Furious template going. So I feel like Justin Lin has grounded the races a lot better. They feel a lot
the less races look CGI, so good. Yeah.
A lot less CGI influence. They feel real.
The warp speed shit, like all that is gone.
He got rid of that shit. The overall aesthetic as well.
Yeah.
Feels a lot more like he's got a plan with it, man.
Yeah.
The issue I had with 2 was that they just it felt like a sequel for sequel's sake. Yeah, they were trying something totally new.
Yeah.
But it felt like there's something there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
In hindsight.
I agree
like
with you.
You feel the potential, actually, when you watch this.
I think it's just a better director for this. I'm not saying Justin Lin is a better director than John Singleton, but he understood it a bit better.
Exactly. He seemed to have some type of vision for what 100%. He wanted to do.
So after poor test screenings for this film, the studio asked Vin Diesel to make a cameo.
Of course. Like he got paid a shitload no extra for this charge. Cameo.
No, he didn't get paid. What he did get was the rights to the Riddick franchise.
Oh.
That was his term.
Oh, wow.
And that's a car.
Yeah. So quite a trade-off.
He got a car and he got the rights to the Riddick so he could make the Chronicles.
The Chronicles.
Which didn't perform well.
No, it wasn't great.
This film takes place in 2013, but I'm sure we'll get to the timeline and shit. When it was released in Japan, the title was Wild Speed 3.
Oh, I want to see Wild Speed 1 and 2 now.
So the filming in Tokyo is difficult, right?
Yeah.
And there's a scene where Sean is walking through the crowd and stuff. They filmed that guerrilla style.
Wow.
So when the police did show up, they're very polite and it takes them a while to be like, okay, what are you guys doing? Another crew member stood up and said, I'm the director. And then they arrested him. That crewman would spend the night in jail.
Wow.
Justin Lin wasn't aware of it at the time, but this guy was paid and they had already prearranged that he would say he's the director.
Because they knew he's going to be arrested.
They knew he's going to be arrested.
That is genius.
And that guy was the giant man in the sauna with the tattoo.
Ooh.
Yeah, so that
they
guy.
They probably thought the handcuffs wouldn't fit.
And Justin Lin is forever grateful to that man.
That dude is insane.
Right?
That's an awesome fun fact.
Yeah, I hit you with the
he's
best.
He's got the paw on the shoulder. He's got a paw.
And then finally, the Mitsubishi Evo that they trains with.
One that he's building throughout.
That is an all-wheel drive car and not suitable for drifting.
No.
But Mitsubishi donated 10 Evos to the firm, so they had to use it.
Do you have the fun fact that the guy on the docks is actually drifting champion?
His name, I will give you in a second. Yeah,
the dude with the cap. He's actually one
the
of
the real drift king.
Yes. And so when he acknowledges that Sean actually is starting to look good, it's almost like an endorsement from
from the real drift king.
The biggest drift king.
Keiichi Tsuchi. Oh, for fuck's sake.
Keiichi Tsukiya. Tsukiya.
I'm gonna not attempt that. I'm gonna let Jody.
It's Keiichi Tsukiya.
Yeah, he is basically the drift king, and did he invent it or popularize it?
I think he popularized it. He was the guy that was in a lot of the footage that started circulating afterwards of people like going absolutely batshit while drifting.
Yeah. So people like us didn't necessarily like the film, but they loved Han.
Yes.
That is why they brought Han back.
Yes.
Because Han's character, and I loved Han's character.
Yeah, I think Han was, he was awesome. I also think that he had an almost better dynamic with Sean than what Vin Diesel and than what Brian and Dom had initially, to be honest. Yeah. I felt it was more genuine, but it helps having a more, like a clearer vision and a more grounded film.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I feel like Justin Lin's direction was very important, as well as the script writing in here, because everything just felt more believable.
100%. Also, no person would ever give someone who can't drive properly a car to race.
It's just illogical.
It is illogical.
It's totally illogical. But, I mean, it's the implication is that Han's got money to spend and well, we find out later why.
Anyway, that's too far. No, that's not Too Fast and Furious. Mm. That is Tokyo Drift.
Tokyo Drift.
I want to touch on, it's a short film called Fast and Furious Los Bandoleros.
Ah.
So this was written and directed by Vin Diesel.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did not know of its existence.
Yeah. That's, bruh, when you ask me to do research, I fucking do research.
Deep dive.
Bruh, I dive deep, I dive hard, I dive fast, and I dive deep. So... this is in 2009, and this served as a prelude to Fast and Furious from 2009. Mm. They're in the Dominican Republic, and this is where Han meets Dom.
Oh.
So Han comes in from the wherever, the States, and he comes to Dom because they set up the gasoline heist from the first film. Mm. So the people in the Dominican Republic are all having issues because the gas prices are so much, and they're trying to
help. Don't you mean from the fourth film?
The fourth film, sorry.
Yeah.
So gas prices are too high and the community is like, oh, me gasolina, you know? And Dom...
They get Daddy Yankee to come in and say, gasolina.
No, not yet. So Dom, I don't know if you noticed this, but wherever Dom is, he's sort of this hero in the community.
Yeah, like people just, Jenna says he's like gravity.
Yeah.
Everyone is just like...
Dom is the best.
But I told her that's not how gravity works. No. She actually, I think what we mean to say is like a magnet for just people.
He has gravitational pull. Yeah,
he's got gravitas.
He's got gravitas. So this is the first instance of that. Because he's like this community guy. Mm. And they introduce Leo and Santos.
Yes.
And they flesh out their story. Because Leo's the one with the big hair. No? Mm. He was in jail. And
Santos is Don Omar.
Yeah, so they break him out of jail. And that's how they join the team. Yeah, it's actually quite cool. This also reunites Letty with Dom after they went on the
events of part one.
Yeah. So Letty comes back and then they like duck in love. So the short film ends where they like hugging and kissing and shit on the beach.
That's pretty dope.
Yeah. So it ties in the return of the gang for Fast and Furious 2009.
Mm-hmm. Which Fast and Furious.
28% on Rotten Tomatoes.
I don't get that.
Rotten Tomatoes is not the be-all and end-all. Let's get that straight.
It's not.
It's an average of reviews, and they put a percentage to it based on the average of positive and negative reviews.
Exactly. So it's like really just either you said it's good or you said it's bad.
But keep in mind, there are two scores. There's a score for critics and there's a score audience. For the audience. Mm. And a lot of the times, those scores don't match up.
Yeah, that's true.
But and the audience are the ones who buy tickets.
Exactly. But we do use like the tomato meter as a bit of an arbiter of like, you know, if something is decent or not decent. Yeah. And I feel like that one, that's a really rough
look,
score.
Look, I check
that.
Like tomatoes, I check IMDb, and then I check a couple of reviewers like of that I like. But anyway, this one is also directed by Justin Lin. Like you said, he kind of took over the series.
He did. And it's got those guys, Justin Lin, the script writer, as well as the music guy. Yeah. So now we have like this established world.
Yeah.
An established aesthetic. You feel like they are actually starting to get comfortable in their shoes, the shoes that they're going to wear.
I was actually quite excited for this because of the return of the gang.
Yeah. And the first trailer hyped that up quite well.
Yeah.
The fact that people are back together.
How the fuck did Brian get back into the FBI? Or get into the FBI?
I have no idea. Well, look, technically...
He ended up with
a good reputation in part two.
He just helped. They said they'll expunge his record.
Yeah.
But that doesn't make him eligible for the FBI.
But he couldn't go back into the racing world because now they all know that he's a knack. So they can't
a knack?
Yeah. Are you a knack?
Like a knick-knack.
From Spider-Man. We're all from Boston.
I'm from Boston. Are you a knack?
Are you a knack? So they know that he was working with the police again.
But
so.
Then, based on his CV alone and his sort of work, if he had to go for the interview, they would be like, "You're a terrible policeman."
But he's got them blue eyes, yo.
Oh, them blue eyes can just make any man wet.
It really does. They do.
So Brian is in the FBI. And again, fucking, what is it? A Latin American villain?
Yes.
This is the introduction of Braga.
Braga.
Yeah, Braga Sticks 8.
Yeah, who talks about himself in the third person throughout.
Yeah. Well, he's trying to...
That's so weird.
He's trying to do that thing, that trope where he's like, he's the actual villain, but he has time. This character that... This mystical Braga character that sort of the fear...
Kaiser Soze
vibe, yeah. So Letty dies.
Yeah, apparently.
That sucks.
Yeah.
And that's what brings Dom back in the world.
So okay, let's also say that when we're talking about bringing the gang back, this one has got Brian's back.
Yeah, Dom is back.
Letty is back briefly. Mia's back.
Yeah.
As well.
Yeah.
And... Then we have like the Bragas and all of these new villains that are taking on our core family team.
Core family team.
Salute.
Angry FBI guy is angry.
Stasiak.
Oh my God. Again, like, why? Okay. Actually, thinking about this now, this does make sense because maybe Brian, like me. He thinks Brian is a terrible policeman.
He's undeserving. And Brian looks like he's getting the ear of a lot of people despite not doing anything.
Because, the blue eyes.
Because they give us a little bit of backstory saying that you guys have this like 72-hour deadline because you've done fuck all for 2 years. You got nowhere for 2 years. So I get that guy's anger.
His frustration.
He's like, we brought Brian in. He's supposed to be this expert and we've got nothing.
Yeah.
Like, fuck. Literally nothing for 2 years.
Braga is an okay villain, I guess.
Yeah, he's okay.
He's not the best, but
he's our first real villain that we get.
Well, the other guy was, what's his name, Hauser?
Yeah.
Hauser's of German descent.
Yeah, Cole Hauser.
Yeah, the brown face man.
Yeah. But also, it's like he was so useless as a character. Braga felt real. He felt more fully formed than any of the other villains that they've had so far. And he's not racing related, actually.
No Tyrese, no Ludacris in this one.
No rapper.
No rapper.
No rapper.
I was actually like, shit.
There's no rapper. There's no forced relationship with like random best friends we've never heard of.
And this is the one where Vin Diesel starts to mumble.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's quite clear.
Yeah.
And he also just starts making like proclamations.
Yeah. He's so good at that.
He's so good at that.
Fuck, that's why he's the leader.
Yeah.
His proclamations. This is also where we find out that Letty is short for Letitia.
Yeah, love that. Is it T-I-T or T-I-C?
I think it's T-I-C-I-A.
Yeah. Obviously.
Fuck my life. I was like, when I saw that, I was like, holy shit, this hits so close to home.
Letitia.
Like, we've heard of so many Letitias here in this country.
Letitia.
We're Letitia. Yo, I would never fucking call her Letty. I would just call her Letitia. Gal Gadot is terrible in this film.
She really is. And she's so in love with Dom.
Yeah, but I think that's also in Vin Diesel's contract. Any introduction of a new beautiful woman, she must have a thing for
Dom. She's going to fawn and he's going to just not care.
No, he's not going to care. Mm-hmm. And then in the end, I was thinking, like 25 years is a long time. Mm.
25 to life.
Yeah, like what was this brat doing?
The DVDs.
No, but
they were worth a lot.
You get 25 years for like murder.
But it was about a truck full of DVDs.
Like first degree murder.
Like
that's
2 years for each DVD.
And they weren't armed in those robberies.
No, they only had the spear gun.
So it's technically not armed robbery.
No, but it's attempted murder, I guess, because they're putting those truck drivers in.
The driver had a gun.
Yeah, but he was defending himself.
Fucking Kevin Sorbo, man. Fuck that guy.
I'm saying again, they should have fucking got the truck drivers back now. They can't beat them truck drivers at any point.
Yeah, I mean, this one was okay.
I enjoyed it for introducing the concept of bringing them back.
Yeah,
And it was the launch pad for much bigger things in the series, definitely. Can I mention one other really shit thing?
Yeah, you can.
Your tunnel CGI, bro.
So, they actually like laid it out with cones. So the driving was actually real. And then they put the tunnels in afterwards in post. But it looked really bad.
It looks horrendous.
Yeah, they're driving through the tunnels.
In my mind, I didn't remember it being that bad. But
it doesn't age well.
So much worse than some of the other CGI.
Look, I mean, talking about CGI, CGI in Too Fast, Too Furious was also fucking
terrible. Yeah.
But this one, after that time, when they kill Phoenix, I love the way they kill Phoenix with that car right through his. Yeah, I love it. Brian holds his leg and they fucking smash that man.
Yeah, because they're a team now.
Ah, it was so dope. I love that.
You hold the ankle, I'm going to pop a wheelie.
Yeah.
Chest.
Yeah, so him and Brian were at loggerheads and the whole time, and now they end up as like, okay, they are finally they're okay with each other.
Can I just want to dive back once more.
Go ahead.
What the fuck was Dom's plan when they after the first coming out of the tunnel?
This could be referring to any movie.
I know. What the fuck? But this really just makes no sense to me. They get out of the tunnels, right? They're doing their first thing for Braga, where they're like gonna get the money and stuff.
Yeah.
The cars are all lined up next to each other. Dom standing there looks at Phoenix, and now he's like, do you remember?
Yeah.
This I don't know. Yeah. And then he blows up the cars.
But I think he didn't have a plan because he realized that they were going to shoot them.
But...
I know.
I'm like, were you going to run away on foot? It starts with his own car.
Yeah.
He doesn't even start with vehicles. He blows his own car. And then he's like, it's a distraction for what?
Yeah.
He doesn't have a gun. He doesn't have anything.
So... I will say this. I was kind of disappointed when Letty died. Mm. I mean, especially after watching that Los Bandoleros because there we see the start of Letty actually becoming a character.
Yes.
So when she dies, I was like, oh, fuck.
Yeah. Okay.
This is like they got rid of her before she hit her true potential.
But they needed to have a story.
Yeah, they needed to bring Dom back.
And Brian together.
That is one thing I'll also say. Mm. Dom is fine with not doing any of this action shit.
Yeah.
Because he's at the end of every movie, they happily ever after, right? I mean, we're going to talk about it probably in the future, but he's okay living on this Latin American island or wherever and like not.
Because he's like the godfather.
Yeah. He's like,
everyone just comes
everywhere he goes or he ends up, he's happy and he gets pulled back into the shit.
Yeah,
that's something I realized.
They also started in this one with like his feats of strength, which wasn't the thing in the earlier movies, but it's like, you know, holding a whole engine block up with one hand.
Yeah, that was crazy,
holding
bro.
A guy with his foot out the window.
Do you know how heavy a fucking engine
is? I know, and he just holds it one-handed. Other hand is holding the brat down. Yeah. So this is where they really start emphasizing.
Wouldn't it have been funny if he had tried to grab it and then destroys that guy's head?
Or he's holding the guy out the window and the guy just falls.
Oh, shit.
Doesn't matter if I hold it with a hand glove.
This is Brian's character is now brunette.
Yes.
No one says anything about that.
I think it's just a natural progression of his hair because he's no longer getting that C.
Or maybe they're trying to portray him as smarter.
Maybe. He has matured.
Yes,
like, it feels like he's actually. This is where I really started liking Brian because I feel like he's matured as a character. We feel like Dom is now becoming this presence. He was already like this magnetic personality, but here he's like this godfather personality.
Yeah.
So I like that they've matured.
Yeah.
I also think that their relationship is still really well portrayed here, like with all of its ups and downs, you know, the anger, the establishing them as like brother type characters. I think it's really well done.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you can see like you get an idea here that they're actually friends in reality.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is nice.
You see that.
The opening scene, right, where they trying to the heist for the petrol. That was actually came from a brainstorm from gearheads that say they would never be able to afford the petrol the amount of time, like all the driving that they do and all the vehicles they have, they would never like be
also,
able to afford it.
Adding to my theory, they don't beat that truck driver.
What do you mean?
They don't actually get the stuff. They only get some.
Oh, yeah,
of the
they destroyed it.
Yeah. They lose at least one of the things. Yeah. So that truck driver also.
That move was so cool, eh? The switching the truck back and then clinking on and then going. Such a cool thing. I would love to like be in the ideation session for these stunts.
Because you just like, you go crazy.
Yeah. I'm sure they go nuts first and then they.
And then they bring it back.
But I thought this was, like you said, that Rotten Tomatoes score, I don't think it's that accurate. It's I thought it was cool because they brought everyone back. Mm. And like you said, the sort of the growth of Tom and Brian's relationship started to
get back on track. This movie is integral to where the series goes.
Exactly.
It's integral to that.
This is the start of the turning point.
Yeah.
Which I thought was pretty cool.
Now, for me, Tokyo Drift is that start because you start
but it
like,
was like
an idea of where
Justin
going.
Lin had to do this corny ass bullshit.
Yeah.
In order to I see what you're saying.
But I get your point.
Yeah.
This for me is the real start of the
Justin Lin is the truth, man.
He is.
Those are the first four films. Mm-hmm. I think we're gonna have to do it in two parts.
Yeah.
Because that's a lot of discussion.
It's gonna have to be continued.
Yeah, so after part one, Jody and I kind of have a few questions that we, our favorite things of the series so far. So from one to four, let's start with your favorite car.
My favorite car, it's got to be Godzilla. It's got to be
what's Godzilla?
The R34, the Skyline. That was its nickname.
I see, okay.
The silver and blue Skyline that Brian drives in Too
really?
Fast, Too Furious. Love that car.
My
because of Gran Turismo. Do you remember Gran Turismo?
Oh, yes.
So that was one of the fastest cars you got on the game when you tuned it up.
Yeah.
So I love that car from then. And then I see it in a movie and I'm like, whoa.
Oh, wow. I didn't know you were that into cars.
Gran Turismo.
That
not real.
Gran Turismo is not real. It was real to me. My favorite car is Hans RX-7 from Tokyo Drift.
Love it.
So beautiful. A rotary motor.
Mm-hmm. And the actual, it is a car that's used for drifting. It's a legit car.
That Veilside vibe, the black and the orange. Mm. I just think it was absolutely stunning.
Love it.
And that's my favorite car. So let's go. Favorite character from the series so far. 1 to 4.
So far, I'd say Han.
Han. I agree with you, that's mine as well.
He's only in like a bit of 4 and most of 3.
Yeah.
He just felt like the most fully formed character that they had at that point.
And he's just so cool, man.
Yeah. He's legit cool, man. Like when they ask him, so when do you drift?
Yeah.
And then he's like, he drifts around that
the two girls. I mean, that's a corny
And it's just to get the number.
Yeah.
It's like, that's all I have to do. Take aside the fact that Han is hanging out with high school girls for the most part, but still.
High school girls and a high school guy. Yeah. Like, there's a 17-year-old next to him.
Yeah, we know why he does that later.
Yeah, but anyway, Han is also my favorite. Okay, your favorite line.
My favorite line has got to be from part one. And part one is filled with stupid shit.
It really is.
But it's when Dom tells Jesse, take it upstairs, Einstein. You can't detail a car with a cover on. Because Jesse is busy chasing a girl in the house. And the only way they can relate to him that you cannot like be undressing a girl in the lounge is in car terms.
Because he has a line also with a body when he talks to Gal Gadot.
Yeah.
And he does the same thing.
It's so stupid. Like,
stupid. How? Okay, I have two favorite lines. I couldn't decide between the one. So I'll say the one is iconic and it is from Fast and Furious 1 and it's Dom and he's, I live my life a quarter mile at a time. Nothing else matters. For those 10 seconds or less, I'm free.
Uh-huh.
That is dripping in corn, bro. It is so fucking cheesy. Mm. But I will say, when I was a teenager.
Yo, that was some powerful stuff. Eh?
But, okay, my favorite line. Too Fast and Too Furious. Too Fast and the Too Furious.
Yeah.
So Roman is talking to Brian about letting Tom go. Because Roman finds out that he let Tom go. Mm. And Brian tells him to drop it.
Mm.
And then Roman says, drop in hell. I want to hear about this, homie. And then Brian replies, I said, forget about it, cuz.
And he does call him cuz.
If you don't know, like cuz is sort of a West Coast thing.
Mm.
From the Crips and Bloods, I mean, it's a gangster thing and they call each other cuz, but they put like a little Ebonics on it and they say cuz. And Brian cannot pull that line off.
Totally pulls it off.
He does not pull it off.
It's pulls
so
it off
bad.
Late as well. We're not going to be poor no more. Yo.
You were never poor, you piece of shit. Anyway, favorite. So, favorite action scene.
Yo, I was a bit torn on this one, but I'm gonna go with that sequence from 4, the opening sequence from Fast and
oil,
Furious.
The oil heist.
the stealing of the cars.
Yeah.
It really is a precursor for where they're going to go in terms of the heist and stuff.
Yeah. I get that.
But I do have like a tie. Uh-huh. And this one, I don't know if we can perceive it as a race or action sequence, but also the train dice with at the end of part one.
Yeah.
Between Dom and Brian and they...
That's more a race though.
But it's also like the jumping of the train.
Because our next question is favorite race.
I know, but it's for me that jumping off the track and the train comes past that look, that is so
but
iconic.
But people do that all the time.
Yeah, but not with a Papa Wheelie and with a flying.
A Papa Wheelie.
Not with both of those.
My favorite action sequence is the truck robbery from the first movie. Mm. Just because that... The truck driver was like fucking the Terminator.
He was.
And the budget they had and the scale of it and
what they pulled off.
Mm. I have mad respect for that. Yeah. I mean, that guy being strapped to the side of the truck, all that jazz.
No, it's awesome.
Yeah, I think that was really cool. And let's move on to your favorite race.
Well, I've given you my one already.
Yeah.
But I will also add I do love the race, the first or the next time Brian and Dom race each other when they're trying to audition for Braga. I think it's the first time that they really had like proper races with turns in a crowded with other cars and all of that stuff. Yeah. And I thought it was awesomely done.
Yeah.
Too Fast does have like actual bends and things in it.
Yeah.
The race is not just a quarter mile, but part fours was so much better.
They call it the sprint. Did you ever play Need for Speed?
Yeah, Underground.
Yeah. Mm. So they called it sprints when you drive like
yes,
that.
Yes.
That first Fast and Furious movie must have spawned that game.
Yeah.
Because that game came out in 2003.
No. Too Fast, actually, when you look at the
No, but they came out the
cars.
Same year.
Oh, okay.
So,
It
must have been like, oh, shit, look at Fast and Furious. Mm. Let's make a game like that with Need for Speed. My favorite race is Sean versus DK number one.
Oh, yeah.
Just because Sean doesn't know what the fuck he's doing.
And he just, like, those pillars, the
I
walls.
I know. And then DK is like, just drifting around the corner, just like... Looking at him like that smoldering Asian look, and I love it.
Listen, do you think that your insurance covers you?
No way.
A bra fucks into your car.
If you're street racing, your insurance will never
cover
it.
I'm talking about the people whose cars were parked there, not the ones racing.
Because he like smashed
he
so many cars.
Into so many things.
Oh, that is cack funny. No, I love that race just because of. How inexperienced your protagonist was.
Yeah.
It was like, it reminded me of like Karate Kid when he fights the bully for the first time, like that type of thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He thinks he can handle himself.
Especially when he accelerates and you know.
And DK is like, what the fuck are you doing? I love it. Just it's the American arrogance, man. And he gets shut down so well.
So hard.
Love it. So that's our first 1-4.
Mm-hmm.
That's the end of part. So
we couldn't
end of part one.
We couldn't do it all in one.
We couldn't do it all in one. We're talking about what 20, almost 20 years. Now.
Yeah.
So 1-4, I must say overall, I enjoyed it more than I thought I would.
I, as you prefaced in the beginning.
Yeah.
I was not that into this idea.
Yeah.
But this has really given me. Like, once I started, I was in it, dude. I enjoyed it. It's reframed how I view certain movies in here. Yeah. So, I'm down. I loved it.
Oh, so good. And I'm really looking forward to part two.
Mm. We're not leaving you guys on a cliffhanger.
Yeah. Well, maybe we can. Mm. I don't know. Do you want to create, like, an explosion noise? And then they just want to... Oh, shit. Jody's died. But he's not dead.
Has he?
Okay. So, shout-outs.
Shout out to this one
goes to Candace Solomon.
Mm-hmm.
She sent us our first email.
Yes, she did.
She did.
We got an email.
Oh my word. It was a legit question too. I don't know if you want to cover the question.
No, man.
Yeah, because
it's private.
Emails are private. Look, we care about privacy
and
the safety of your information.
Yeah.
So anything you send.
If you want to know what she said, write us an email.
Yeah. Love it, Jody. If you want to know what she said, write us an email. But amazing. Thank you so much, Candace.
Yeah.
Appreciate it. And, just keep doing you, babe. Mm-hmm. Keep doing you.
I got a shout out for a mutual friend of ours who is also got his own side hustle going on the side, 857 Inc. Guys, go and check out 857 Inc. on Instagram.
Yeah.
That's a friend of ours who has really dope t-shirts and things.
Yeah.
Check it out.
Jody and I both own those. Yeah. We're not wearing them at the moment. Or let's lie.
We are wearing them at the moment.
Yeah, it's dope. There's love the concept of it, essentially. Look at his Instagram page. You'll get an idea of what he's about and his inspiration and so on. Amazing.
Awesome.
Right. So tell the people where they can find us once again, Jody.
Guys, write us an email. Write an email if you want to find out what happened in our previous email. BicycleBrasserPodcast@gmail.com. Alternatively, go and look us up on Instagram at BicycleBrasser. No, shit. Got it wrong again. It's email address BicycleBrasser@gmail.com. Instagram account BicycleBrasserPodcast on Insta.
Nice. I love the way you did that, right? What a save. You almost dropped him. It was like a Fast and Furious.
Then no one would have written us again.
Safe, Jody.
Safe, Ross.